This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Archer. The family of the Menendez brothers called for their release today, and the man arrested at Trump's rally in Coachella now suing the Riverside County Sheriff. But first, a decades-long legal battle over allegations of sex abuse by members of the LA Catholic Archdiocese may finally be coming to an end. Today, a massive settlement was announced. Pete Demetrio has been covering this. He joins us live.
The settlement involved law firms representing 1,354 plaintiffs who claimed they were molested by members of the LA Catholic Archdiocese over a period of decades. Attorney Morgan Stewart's firm represented the majority of the plaintiffs. He thinks this is the closing chapter in a legal battle that stretches back in time to the 1990s and handles most of the outstanding claims against the church. And he managed to get a sense from his clients about how they feel about the settlement.
Our clients are pleased to put it behind them. It's been, for the vast majority of them, they've lived with this, if not their entire lives, they're close to their entire lives. They were all abused as young children. And the fact is, California legislature opened up this window and allowed them to bring these cases. So while they're not happy with the, that they had to go through this, they are happy to put this chapter behind them and pick up the pieces of their lives and move forward.
And the amount of the settlement is estimated to roughly be close to $880 million against the LA Catholic Archdiocese. In a statement, Archbishop Jose Gomez, representing the Archdiocese, says his hope is that the settlement will provide some measure of healing for what these men and women have suffered, and they are going forward with efforts to make sure that nothing of this nature ever happens again in the Archdiocese.
Thanks, Pete. David Clossie is a former national director of SNAP. That's a survivors network for victims abused at the hands of priests. He says he's grateful for the victims who find the strength to come forward about the abuse. Many of them are still holding out hope for a trial.
There's no question about it. Victims need and deserve money for therapy and medical expenses and all the other myriad ways that abuse affects victims well into their late decades. But money alone is not some kind of a cure-all. And so many victims feel validation and closure when the wrongdoers are actually forced to testify in court and face those tough questions under oath, both those who commit the crimes and those who conceal the crimes.
There's many more abuse crimes going to remain covered up by the church unless cases actually go to trial. 20 relatives of Lyle and Eric Menendez pleaded for their release in front of the downtown courthouse today in front of hundreds of members of the media. Emily Valdez was there.
Brian Anderson is the nephew of Kitty Menendez.
Today, we know that trauma can lead to actions that, while difficult to understand, are rooted in survival.
The brothers shot their parents to death in Beverly Hills in 1989, convicted of first-degree murder, sentenced to life in prison without parole. But now there's new evidence supporting the boys' claims they were repeatedly sexually abused by their father. The judge would not allow jurors to hear about their abusive childhood during the trial.
Lyle and Eric acted out of fear, but the jury never heard the full story. If their trial were held today, their father's abuse would be front and center in their defense. And I believe the outcome would be very different.
Joan Vandermolden is Kitty's 92-year-old sister.
In their case, if it were tried today, the evidence of their father's abuse would not only be admitted in court, it would provide essential context for why they acted as they did. No jury today would issue such a harsh sentence without taking their trauma into account.
The brothers have spent 35 years behind bars. Family members want the brothers' conviction overturned or for them to be resentenced and set free. In downtown L.A., I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Three people under arrest in connection with a residential robbery in West L.A. that involved gunfire resulted in the death of another suspect. This robbery happened last month when four people approached a man and his wife in the driveway. One of them shot the man in the head before taking off. He's still in the hospital in critical condition. One of the the suspects was also shot. It is not known if he was shot by the victim or by one of the other robbers. He died later at the hospital. The other three facing charges, including murder and attempted murder. The man arrested at Trump's rally in Coachella is now suing the Riverside County Sheriff for defamation. Chad Bianco has said he prevented a Trump assassination attempt. Natalie Tavidian reports.
The federal lawsuit claims that the 49-year-old man, Vem Miller, of Las Vegas, arrested at the GOP rally in the Coachella Valley over the weekend, allegedly with guns and a false ID, had his civil rights violated. The suit alleges defamation and puts blame on the sheriff's department, alleging Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco intentionally wanted to create a narrative. Vem Miller's attorney, Sigal Chadha.
We have a sheriff that had the knowledge Saturday night that Mr. Miller was not, in fact, under any investigation for an assassination attempt, was never even questioned by Secret Service or the FBI when they had multiple opportunities to question him, both at the venue and at the police station, thermal station. They declined.
She calls the allegations preposterous.
We reached out to the Riverside County Sheriff's Office. They say they can't comment on pending litigation. Phillips 66 has announced it's going to close its L.A. refinery next year. They say because of uncertainty about the future sustainability of it. About 66 employees and some 300 contractors operate there, the company says. Going to work with them to help them through the transition. The refinery operation includes a processing facility in Carson and another one in Wilmington linked by a 5-mile pipeline. We're going to go deeper into family members of the Menendez brothers calling for them to be released from prison. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. And back down to our top story, the L.A. Catholic Archdiocese agreeing to settle claims of child sex abuse by priests for a mind-boggling $880 million. Settlement covers more than 1,300 alleged victims. For more reaction, joined live by Joel Castix, who is a Southern California volunteer leader for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, also called SNAP. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What do you think of the settlement?
Well, this is a long time in coming. I mean, these are survivors who have been struggling for decades to become strong enough, A, to talk about the abuse, and B, to demand justice and accountability to ensure that what happened to them doesn't happen to another child. And I am glad that the LA Archdiocese decided to reach a settlement as opposed to hiding behind the cloak of bankruptcy like we've seen in other dioceses across the state. And it is my hope that what this settlement does is it brings some measure of accountability through the release of documents, through the exposure of crimes and cover-ups, and also allows survivors the capacity to get the help that they so severely deserve.
Now, the church says it's overhauled its procedures so that abuse like this can't happen again. Do you agree with that assessment?
You know, we've seen from, you know, day one that the LA Archdiocese is completely incapable of policing itself. And we've seen that they have decided to hide behind tricky legal tactics as opposed to doing the right thing for child safety and survivor healing. So, you know, they claim they've overhauled their systems. I personally don't believe it, and I implore every parent with a child in a Catholic school or a Catholic parish to be extra vigilant about child safety.
All right, this is going to be a sensitive question. I don't intend any offense by it, but the overall stats that we're talking about here with this kind of abuse, more than 300 priests accused of abusing nearly 2,000 children. How could this happen? Is there something you think about the church itself, or is it just that there is a lot of focus on Catholic Church child sex abuse?
Honestly, I think it's a combination of both. I think that the survivors movement within the Catholic Church has really opened the public's eyes about child sexual assault across our society. And because of the work that survivors in the Catholic Church have done to expose abuse and cover up and to get documents out in the open, we've been able to change laws that have allowed other survivors to come forward. So, like when we passed AB 218, which was a law that allowed these survivors to come forward, it wasn't a law that only applied to the Catholic Church. I actually testified on behalf of that bill. It applied across the board, whether you were at a public school, a camp, or whatever. It gave all survivors the same rights. I think that the numbers are staggering in LA because LA is a big archdiocese and was a dumping ground for many, many years for other dioceses across the nation. I think abuse here is rampant because we had very vulnerable populations, Spanish-speaking populations, immigrant populations who relied on the church for help and support, and instead, you know, accidentally gave their children over to predator priests. And I think that we had a long line of church leaders from Cardinal Mahoney to Timothy Manning going all the way back who really didn't care. And children were seen as a short-term liability. And so it was far more important to them to protect the priests than it was to protect the kids. So I think there's a lot of factors at play.
All right, Joel Kastick, Southern California volunteer leader of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
A lot of members of the Menendez family gathering in downtown L.A. today calling for them to be released from prison. But not everybody in the family agrees. That is coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. The Menendez brothers have been in prison for 35 years now, accused of killing their mother and father, and family members of the brothers calling for their release now. They made their case to the local, national, and international media outside the criminal courts building in downtown L.A.
Lyle and Eric would continue to be victimized. They would be victims of a system that wouldn't hear them. And they would be victims of a culture that was not ready to listen. They would be mocked. They would be called cold-blooded killers, left to rot in jail and denied any hope of redemption. If Lyle and Eric's case were heard today, with the understanding we now have about abuse and PTSD, there is no doubt in my mind that their sentencing would have been very different. And yet, despite their circumstances, they have chosen a life of light. Without hope of release, they persevered. They have sought to better themselves and serve as a support and inspirations for survivors all over the world. Their continued incarceration serves no rehabilitative purpose. It's time to recognize the injustice they've suffered and allow them the second chance they deserve.
Instead of being seen as victims, they were vilified. Their father's abuse was dismissed, their trauma ignored, and their truth mocked by millions. Lyle and Eric are not the same people they were 35 years ago. They've shown that they are more than their past. I firmly believe that if they were to come to my house, knock on my door, I would answer that door. I would welcome them in with huge hugs. My wife would make them a dinner, and I'd give them a pillow and a place to sleep.
What happened is tragic, but I forgive my cousins. I have forgiven them forever, because I know they were acting out of fear and desperation. These were children. Children, just 6 and 8 years old, who didn't understand their own bodies. No child should ever have to endure that kind of pain. This abuse trapped them. It was painful and it terrified them. Their father's abuse shattered their lives. It is time. Time for Eric and Lyle to come home. We are here for them.
It was a nightmare none of us could have imagined. But as details of Lyle and Eric's abuse came to light, it became clear that their actions, while tragic, were the desperate response of two boys trying to survive the unspeakable cruel of their father. They were just children. Children who could have been protected and were instead brutalized in the most horrific ways. Lyle and Eric have already paid a heavy price, discarded by a system that failed to recognize their pain. They have grown, they have changed, and they have become better men despite everything that they've been through.
But the brother of murdered mother Kitty Menendez disagrees. You got more from his attorney.
Mr. Milton Anderson believes that justice was served by that jury's verdict and by the sentence that was imposed. Since that time, the case has been on appeal and the conviction has been affirmed several times over. Mr. Anderson does not believe that his nephews were molested, and he believes that the sentence that was imposed was correct and just. And so as the brother of a murder victim, it really is offensive to find out what's going on in your sister's murder case from the news. You shouldn't have to find out about it that way. You should find out about it through the prosecutor's office. But Mr. Gascon didn't see fit to do that.
The whole case being reviewed by LA County DA right now. A hearing is set for late next month. That's your nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, October 16th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review.